Hello, Insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, along with co-host Eb Wilkinson and special co-host, former Senator Frank Antonori, welcoming you to a special Freedom from Democrat Tyranny and Impeachment edition of Inside Track. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. As advertised, we will welcome your calls and call us at the Imus Wilkinson Asset Management Live Line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Eb, Frank, Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year.
Yep, and same
happy,
to you, Bruce.
And very happy we're all here together again. Yep. Frank, you look fit and fiddle. You had a crazy 2020.
Yeah.
Glad to see you looking so great. Tell our listeners how you're feeling.
Oh, I'm doing great. I got a great scar, man. I had the best doctors in the world. And I'll give a shout out to Doc Lancero, my cardiologist, and Dr. Bose, my thoracic surgeon, who actually cut me open and did all the work. Those two guys are phenomenal with the Pima Heart Institute. I got to hand it to them, but I recovered quickly. I had a little bump in the recovery because while I was in the hospital, as some of you guys know, I got COVID in TMC from somebody at TMC gave me COVID.
Wow.
And I had to spend an extra 8 days in the hospital recovering from the open heart surgery and from COVID, but I bounced back afterwards. And now the new heart valve is working like a champ. I mean, I could tell the difference. I didn't realize with the older diseased valve how I had slowly over time, because
right.
You don't notice it's gradual, decreased
right.
in my sort of strength and vigor and whatnot. And I seem to be tired a lot, but now that I got the new one, I'm...
How long was the recovery?
6 weeks was probably the most of it. And then that's where the majority, I'd say 90% of it is in 6 weeks. And then after that, it's a little slow, gradual recovery. But I'm probably, you'll never be 100% when they crack you open like that, but I'm probably 99.5.
Could you hear the saw?
No, I'm out by then. I was out. They wheeled me in, and I remember jokingly telling the doc I wanted to take a picture of my heart, and I got a picture of it, by the way.
Nice.
I said,
this is the only time. I said, and he's like looking at me like, and I'm a unique patient. All my doctors say I'm the most unique patient they've ever had in their life because I have a medical background because I was.
Yeah.
So I tell him, I said, this is the only time in my life that I'm ever going to see what it looks like. I said, I really want a picture of it. And he goes, well, we're not supposed to. I said, Doc.
And you need to prove to your wife that you do have a heart.
Cut me some slack and give me a picture. And he's like, all right. So he got me a picture. So I got a picture of my heart. And
I want to see that.
All it is they did it. When he took the picture, it was just the little 6-inch by 6-inch square with a heart. And you can't even tell it's the heart because it's laying in there, with all the other stuff that's going on. But he took a picture of it, and you could see a little bit of it and the part of my aorta coming up out of the top of it, and that's enough for me. So
wow.
I was like, yeah, that's cool enough. But I have a heart. I have photographic proof.
Wow.
So it's there. But, yeah, and, again, they take real good care of you. TMC, I don't want badmouth poor TMC. TMC took phenomenal care of me. I mean, what a great hospital. It's just somebody, they were a COVID hospital too. So somebody somehow transmitted it to somebody and then transmitted it to somebody and it probably got to me. And they had used all the precautions and mm-hmm. it got past them. Everybody wore a mask. Everybody used the hand sanitizer coming in and out of my room. And I never really touched anybody, but people are bringing stuff in your room. They're checking your vital signs. They're bringing you lunch. And any one of those
Did you ever know that you had COVID or it's just because of the test?
No, I had a low-grade fever the day I was getting discharged from the heart surgery. This was like 10, 11 days after the heart surgery. And on the way home, I got discharged. On the way home, my wife, I said, run by Walgreens, get me a... I wasn't allowed to drink caffeine because obviously I just had surgery.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So I said, I know, that was like bad. So I said, give me a root beer. So she goes into Walgreens, gets me a root beer, and I said, man, this root beer tastes like crap. There's something wrong with this root beer. So she goes and gets another one, the next one. I go, man, this root beer, and my wife then tastes it. She takes my root beer.
So now she gets
So she tastes my root beer, and she goes, there's nothing wrong with that root beer. That root beer tastes fine. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with it. It tastes funny. So then I said, well, run by McDonald's, give me a hamburger. I want to get a hamburger too. Because they won't let you eat nothing but hospital food, right? While you're in there. And it wasn't really.
That sucks.
Yeah. So I get the hamburger and I'm like, Panda, there's like no taste to this. I can't even taste the ketchup on it. And it still didn't dawn on me, Bruce. Still didn't dawn on me. And then about 2 days later, I got this real bad headache. And I never get headaches.
You give headaches.
Yeah, I give headaches. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, I told my wife, I got this screaming headache and whatnot. And the fever and everything. So I call my doctor. And he said, you know, maybe you're getting pneumonia because you're under surgery for 6.5 hours. That's one of the side effects. He says, run to the emergency room, have them do a chest x-ray. So I go to the emergency room. They do a chest x-ray. The doc comes in. He says, oh, look, your heart is really enlarged. I go, what do you mean my heart's enlarged? He goes, yeah. He goes, your cardiac silhouette on the x-ray. He goes, I need to send you for a CAT scan. So they send me for the CAT scan. And they said, oh, you got a large fluid buildup around your heart inside your pericardium. Now, that was a complication from the warfarin. I was taking blood thinners.
Sure.
And the sutures leaked and filled my heart's, the pericardial sac up with fluid. No big deal. He goes, well, we got to get you in there to get that fixed. He says, real quick, they'll get you in overnight. Next day, you'll go home. So I said, okay, great. So we said, but we got to do COVID test on you before we admit you to the hospital. So they go do the COVID test. And it was funny because he comes into the room after he talked to me. He was just wearing a mask. But when he comes in the room the next time, he's wearing a face shield and he's wearing one of those big yellow gowns. And I knew then, knew then the game was up. And he goes, oh, Mr. Antonar, I got to tell you, you have COVID. And he says, we're still going to do the surgery, but we're going to admit you to the COVID ward now. And so I went right back. I was only out for 3 days. I was only out of the hospital for 3 days, went back in. They went in and made a small incision and went up and drained the fluid. It was really no big deal. But they wouldn't let me out of the hospital until I was asymptomatic and negative. So I had to spend 8 days. What was going to be an overnight stay and get out the next day turned into another 8 days because they said, we have to wait till you're 3 days asymptomatic. And it was about 8 days. And they finally let me go home. And then I did the convalescent plasma program. I did 3 convalescent plasma donations to help because I was going in for follow-ups every week anyway. So when I came
That's great.
When I came in, they said, do you mind donating plasma that may help somebody else? So I said, heck yeah, I'll. So I did 3 convalescent plasma donations.
How'd your wife turn out?
She ended up not getting it. Could you believe that?
She was asympathetic.
Yeah, asympathetic. And, you know, it's just remarkable that I was in close proximity with her for 3 and hugged and kissed her, my
Traded
kids.
Spit.
Yeah, and they didn't get it. And then I got it somehow in a hospital with everybody wearing a mask, everybody washing their hands. Now, I could have had a little challenge because my immune system may have been down a little bit because of the trauma that I went through. I don't know. But I got it and she didn't.
So basically, it's not the mask.
No, I'm a firm believer the mask has nothing to do with it. It is contact transfer. You touch, the virus gets on something, or you touch someone that has, that rubbed their nose or whatever, and then you touch them, and then you touch your face, or you eat something, and you ingest it. That's how it's spreading. I don't think all these crazy ideas, and talking to other people that have gotten it too, I am convinced that it's through contact transfer, that 90% of the cases are people touching something or someone that has it and then touching themselves.
Well, Frank Antonori back stronger than ever.
Yeah.
I want to let you know, I go to services every Saturday morning, and we set a mishaberek for you, which is a blessing
man.
For good health.
It worked. You got good connections with upstairs.
So you always give the name of the person that you want the rabbi to say the mishaberek for, right? And he looks, and I said, Antonori, he says, really?
That's not a Jewish name.
He's part of the Genoan contingent. Anyway, well,
thanks
glad to
so
have
much.
You back.
Appreciate
Happy
it.
New Year, Ab. It's been a few weeks since we've seen each other. Any news to report?
Not much. Cabinet's going in the next 2 weeks.
Life you keep putting it off.
Look, it's my fault. I've got federal jury duty next week.
God. Jerk duty.
Well, you know, I'm going in there with my Bible in my NRA magazine, and when the
a couple of high capacity
and when the attorney says, so what do you find interesting in the Bible, which part do you like the best, I'm just going to say an eye for an eye. I figure that'll get me right on the jury.
Yeah,
we had planned to do a look back at our 2020 predictions and make our 2021 predictions with Frank, but the events during the past week, the official end of the 2020 national election, the Georgia runoff, and the Washington D.C. events this week changed all of our plans, friends. In addition to the three of us yammering away, a little later, friend of the show, T.N. Kennedy, was in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. She was an eyewitness during the Trump rally. She'll call in right after the bottom of the hour break to give us her account of what happened that day and her feelings as well about what she saw. Your call is very welcome today. Again, at 790-2040 to add your voice to the conversation. Before we get to our discussion today, allow me just to share a few brief thoughts with you. Perhaps there has been no time in our national history since the period between 1850 and 1860 where our nation has been as divided as it has been the last 12 years. While arguably America is a 50-50 nation, the people in this country, it seems all of our citizens are angry, disgusted, and don't trust their national leadership. And frankly, don't they've lost trust even in the election process. They don't trust it anymore. Without reform and consensus, this is a recipe for disaster. This week, our national mood sunk to a new low. For Republicans, with the end of the 2020 election being made final as the electors' votes were certified and Joe Biden officially named our 46th president, and the loss of the Senate in Georgia with those two runoffs, the mood is grim and angry. For Democrats, while they feel emboldened by the results of the election, anger is their most strong emotion. They're also vengeful and fixated on one last final drive to push President Trump out of the White House with just a few short days left so they can realize their most important policy goal in the last 4 years, which is to break down all opposition by Republicans and the conservative movement and get rid of the president. As they have shown, they will go to all and any lengths to achieve their dreams. Their target is President Trump, but their victims are all of us in America. Nancy Pelosi was even reported to have been in contact with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Friday to keep the nuclear codes away from President Trump, as if to insinuate he is so unstable he'd authorized a rogue nuclear launch. While she and her leftist pals charge the president with crimes of incitement, she colludes with potential enemies, giving aid to them. This is just another example of the leftist Democrat overreach and disloyalty to the Constitution and their oath of office. The incoming president and Democrat leaders in Congress ought to take notice of the mistrust and disregard of our elected leaders, who are viewed as out of touch and elitist, not only by Republicans, but by independents and a bunch of their Democrat friends as well. Reconciliation is the tonic our nation desperately needs, and the incoming president can do much to start the healing process and begin to heal the wounds in our country, which have been ripped open by the left and sadly by some of our friends as well in this week of senseless and illegal violence. The instigators and participants should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I believe, and I hope my friends here today believe, an honest investigation of the D.C. violence will show there was incitement by radical members of the far left and the far fringe on the right who were culpable for the crimes committed against the national government and our citizens. These criminals, many of them violent and with malevolent intent, do not reflect the values of nearly 155 million Americans who voted in the last election. We must not allow them to win. And for whatever it's worth, Mr. President-elect, if you honestly are interested in reconciliation, you ought to consider moderation. Rigging of election laws, big tech's efforts to suppress free speech, packing the Supreme Court, adding D.C. and or Puerto Rico as new states, ending the filibuster, taking away our precious constitutional rights will not serve you well and will cause great unrest, which could permanently be destructive to our republic and your presidency. Stand up to radical members of your party and protect our American liberty. Fellas, before we go to the break, we'll start with the results of the Georgia. Oh, I see we have a couple of calls. I didn't know that. Leah?
Let's go to Leah.
Leah? Okay. Lee. Okay, Lee, you're up first. You're on with Bruce and Frank and Ed. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, men. My question is this. When it's so obvious that that Mr. Biden seems to have cognitive issues, and even his possible connection with China, how could he ever have even become the nominee? And that's what I don't understand. Out of all the candidates, they could have elected someone or chose someone who could have been an honest candidate. They may have won.
Well, the problem is Bernie Sanders. One. Bernie Sanders was their alternate choice, and he's a freaking communist also.
it just seems like to me, man, it's obvious that it was voter fraud going on, and who I feel just concerned for all the people that came out and had affidavits of things they saw They risk their livelihoods. Some maybe even were put themselves and their families in danger. And so what about them? It's just, oh, we're going to push you to the side? And so what I heard someone say, and I'm going to let you men go, someone said, no, it's not an election. It's who is selected.
Thanks,
it has nothing
Lee.
To do with election.
That's a Stalinesque quote. It's not the person who votes. It's the person who counts the votes, as Joe Stalin would
that's
say,
right.
That makes the difference. And, you know, there's a totality of facts with regard to Biden. First of all, the establishment, unlike the Republican Party, basically dictates, you know, the way their party functions. At least in the Republican Party, we have a process that, you know, everybody can participate and whatnot. And I've seen that work, although some may disagree with that. It ain't like the left. The left basically dictates, here's who you're going to vote for. And then all like lemmings, they vote for that individual. So that's one reason why they and to Bernie Sanders' demise, actually, because he probably should have won that election. And, of course, the establishment Democratic Party would not let Bernie anywhere near the nomination. So that's why Biden got selected. He was a safe choice. And then, of course, there was the anti-Trump vote.
Unimaginable choice.
Then there was the anti-Trump vote. And one could argue that Biden was elected not because of Joe Biden, but he was elected because of Donald Trump. And there was just this rampant hatred for the president that they leveraged. And that's why he hid in the basement and said, they basically said, Joe, don't say anything. You'll be fine because, you know,
we got this.
You don't have to convince people to vote for you. We're out there convincing people to vote against Trump. And that was part of the other
side. We're
going to
suppress Trump's
exactly.
Big tech.
And then, of course, for insurance, and I do believe this, and of course, I'll probably have Tim Steller and all the other guys calling me all the crazy conspiracy names. I do believe it's a totality of things that led to an unfair advantage to the Democrats in the election. I think one of which is the mail-in ballots, the mass mailing to people that weren't even on the voter rolls, the mass, and especially in states like Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And I would also say, to an extent here in Arizona, the ability of the Democratic Party to ballot harvest, and some of those ballots may have been harvested from people that aren't on the planet no more, that might be 6 feet underground. Some of those ballots may be people that never even existed, that were addresses that somebody wrote a name and an address in, and they didn't do a very good job, as you saw the anecdotal, they call it anecdotal evidence. But, you know, when you had a 17% signature verification requirement the previous election, and this year drops only to 1%, where last cycle you had to verify 17% of the signatures on the ballots because they didn't match.
Right.
And all of a sudden this year only 1% didn't match.
Less than 1%.
Yeah. That's a phenomenon that, you know, in the world, in the data world that I live in, a world where in God we trust, all others bring data. That's the motto. And in the data world that I live in, that's an anomaly that just doesn't. And when you do your Monte Carlo,
right,
it's the one thing that you're supposed to throw it out because it's not in the norm.
All right, thanks, Frank.
Yeah.
And thanks, Lee, for your call. We have two calls holding. Ingrid, we'll get right back to you. We have to take a break. We're about 7 minutes over schedule, so we'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Track. Stay tuned. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
It's termite season.
Bugs fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control. We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites. And stop paying too much to that national provider. Buy local for great service and affordable rates. Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue.
Run for your life.
Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control. 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at EssentialPest.com.
I'm Ev Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911. 1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Frank Antonori's here, Pep Wilkinson here. This is Bruce Ash. We have Ingrid on the call. Ingrid, we're running a little long, but what's your question?
I just wanted to say that the idea of picking things up on your hands, I think, is very good. Even dandruff, probably, the body part. If you wear rubber gloves when you go to the store and use the solutions that should do a good job. The other thing is the National Institute for Civil Discourse that is located connected with the university.
They're doing a hell of a job, Ingrid.
You think so?
No.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. They were switching employees back and forth with the U of A. Certain tax money was involved in that. So yeah. Where are these people? And as far as Donald Trump goes, he didn't tell those people to riot. He said it's going to be wild. He probably thought they're going to be waving flags, chanting, "We want Trump, fix the election system," things like that. He didn't open any doors and let people come in. He didn't ask a veteran of 14 years to climb through a window. For all we know, the poor woman might be on drugs. There definitely was something disgusting going on, and it needs to be investigated. I wish I had more time to talk, but thank you very much for a wonderful program.
Thanks, bye-bye. Ingrid. I appreciate it. Lawrence, you're next online here with Frank and Evan. Bruce, what's on your mind, man?
I just want to say Happy New Year to you all and to Frank. I've mentioned a couple times some happy hours. I want to make sure, glad to hear you're doing well. And tell you, I am not doing well with this. This is why I'm going bow hunting and run around out in the woods and not be out of touch with what's going on, because I just really can't take it. And the only good thing about not being in the classroom right now is I don't have to look at any nutty liberals and end up putting my fist in their face right now.
Hey, brother, I'm with you. I climbed out of the tree stand this morning to be here. I literally got my bow in the truck out in the parking
lot. He's wearing camouflage.
And I'm wearing camouflage right now. So that's where I was this morning. And I'm going to go right back out as soon as I get off the radio.
Oh, well, thanks. We really appreciate
taking time. I got all month. We got till the end of the month to shoot something, right? Right, Lawrence? We got all month. Yeah, plenty of time.
Yeah, we do. I've got limited time. I've got an archery tournament at the end of the month, so okay. I'm going to try to get... Hey, my daughter shot a javelina last weekend.
Oh, nice.
And then she, tough little girl. I was like, man. She said, "Dad, it's got my arrow in it." I said, "Just let it go. We'll catch up to it. Just relax."
Yeah. And how old is she?
18.
Oh, 18.
Good for her.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you're passing that on.
Yeah, don't eat the meat.
Absolutely.
Well, and chorizo. Make chorizo.
Well, okay, chorizo's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you make. You grind it up and you spice it up a lot and you make sausage. That's about it.
Yeah, Kent does a good job for it. I asked my daughter, "What do you want for it?" She said, "Dad, just turn that thing into chorizo." Okay.
Yeah, that's what
all right.
They
all right.
Yeah, all right. Have a great day.
You
thanks
too.
For calling,
thanks, Lawrence.
Yep. Hey, fellas, let's go back and talk. So after 57,000 tweets, why should everyone be concerned about Twitter permanently blocking President Trump from their platform? And now Google and Apple Play threatening to block Parler.
Google already has.
From using their digital platform.
Yeah, and Apple's threatening that if they don't get a hold of the free speech, they're going to get rid of Parler from their platform.
Right. What is going on?
Yeah, I saw Dan Bongino's video. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see it, because he's a part owner of Parler. And it's quite disturbing. And I think this is part of the overplay that the left always does, and they're going to overplay their hand. When you get people thinking that you're coming after their constitutional freedoms and their rights to be Americans, and particularly the left, who always used to chant about, you know, no justice, no peace. You know, they are always about this, you know, I have a right to express my views and even if you don't like it. Now they're playing this game. Well, and a lot of these people being banned are people that are not just agreeing with Democratic ideology. It's not that you're saying anything violent. Half of the people they suspended off of Twitter yesterday were people that just opposed their views. You know, this is a scary Stalin-esque movement here to stifle speech and to stifle communications within, you know, what I would say the conservative side of the country. And it's scary. I mean, it's bad.
So I have up until 2 days ago, I had nearly 4,000 Twitter followers. Right?
Uh-huh.
Between yesterday and today, they reduced the number of my followers on Twitter by nearly 1,500.
Wow.
No, I mean, it just went boom.
I got a theory. I lost a lot too because I had about 5,000 on Twitter.
You're more popular than me, Frank.
A little bit.
You'll always be more popular.
Just a little
popular
bit. But it went down. It went down to about 3,300.
So it happened to you as well.
Yeah, happened to me. I'm thinking there are people leaving because I've been sending tweets out and telling people switch to Parler. You know,
but
and maybe,
that many people all in one day.
I don't. You know,
maybe they got blocked. Maybe that's what you were just talking about. Is they got blocked as well?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they're shutting off. And I'm getting to the point where eventually I'm going to close out my Twitter account and switch over to Parler. But the scary thing, you know, that we're talking about with the Parler now being intimidated by Google and Apple. You know, this is what's scary. You have an oligarchy here that is now
controlling free speech.
A pseudo government. They think they're the government. They get to say what you can and can't do. They get to dictate what your rights are and what your rights aren't. That's what's scary.
Why do I feel like I'm in a 1970s James Bond movie where there's this Mr. Evil guy who runs this big tech information empire.
Stroking his cat in his lap.
But what's really scary, though, is they think they're doing something. They think they're being effective. What they're not, being effective. There are now people that are viewing this is clearly what it is. It's an overreach, and there will be repercussions down the road. And the left, if this, God forbid, if this country were ever to get to the point like we were in the 1860s, it will be the left's fault because they will push people into a corner and back them into a corner to the point where they have no choice but to fight back. And the more radical they get to try to suppress those individuals, the more unfortunate the results will be. And that's what's scaring me. It's not the right that's causing all this problem. It's the left. And as they keep squeezing and tightening the noose, eventually there's going to be
a point. The pressure keeps building.
And they're going to fight back. And then they're going to scream just like they saw on TV this week. That was people fighting back. They were finally fed up. They didn't have their day in court. No one would hear them in court. There wasn't a court in the country. I think Trump had 58 cases, only one actually got a hearing. They're saying, why can't we just look at this? And people are just furious about that. And if you keep trying to suppress that, there's a large segment of this country that firmly believes that they are being isolated.
So this is like pitchforks.
Yeah.
The pitchfork, you know.
And torches.
And torches.
That's how,
you know,
how it starts.
March to the Congress.
Yeah, that's how it starts. But unfortunately, you know, what's even scarier about what's going on now compared to the Civil War, I could tell you right now that there's a reason the Japanese never thought about invading the United States. And thankfully, the founding fathers of this country put the Second Amendment in there because that's what's protecting us right now. I don't believe anything else is protecting us. The government would have swept in and stripped us. We'd have been like Venezuela years ago if they weren't so afraid of the potential populace.
Absolutely,
know,
rising up.
Yeah. If they get to that point, there are people, and I haven't, and I was talking before we started the show, I have a lot of friends, retired Green Berets, that are out there right now prepping for what's coming.
How so?
We're establishing alternate forms of communication, and we're establishing certain protocols to communicate and organize if that day comes.
Anything you'd care to share?
No, I do not want to share on that.
All right.
But the reality is that there's a large segment of this population. I mean, don't forget, we have 3.5 million veterans that fought in Iraq and Afghanistan, asymmetric war veterans out there that are not going to take this laying down.
No.
And this is the scary thing for me, and this is scaring me. I just want to make sure. I'm not advocating nothing. What I'm worried about is that the left is going to push and push and push and push and push, and then somebody's going to say, that's it. I've had enough. And that's what started the Civil War. That's what started the Revolutionary War. Don't forget, Revolutionary War history, less than one-third of the country fought the British. The other two-thirds were either neutral or helping the British.
For the British, yeah.
If you see the polls now, 50% of the country thinks something's amiss here.
About 75% think that this thing ought to be investigated.
Exactly. We're way past what was the number used to overthrow the British government. If that entity ever were to decide to get to that point, it would be a disaster for this country. I think the left needs to wake up because just as you said previously about Joe Biden, if he's smart and he doesn't, if he keeps going down that hard left-wing route that they're trying to push him down, he goes down that route, it's going to be them that bring on the insurrection in this country, not Trump. Trump was maybe a guy that got the populist movement going, but the oppression that they're talking about imposing on this country is what's going to kick this thing off. It's not what Trump's doing.
Well, Frank and Eb, let's have Tom take us to a break now. We're a little past our time. Maybe Tian Kennedy will call in, but even if she doesn't, we're moving on. We got lots and lots of stuff to talk about. You're listening to Inside Track. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
It's termite season.
Hi, it's me.
And
bugs, fear the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control.
Go blue at Essential Pest Control. We'll eliminate those bugs, bees, and termites. And stop paying too much to that national provider. Buy local for great service and affordable rates. Call Essential Pest Control because termites fear the blue. Call for the blue trucks from Essential Pest Control, 886-3029. That's 886-3029. Or check online at essentialpest.com.
Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
All right, welcome back to Inside Track. We're here with Frank and Eb, and we do have Tian on the line calling in. Tian, I understand you were in Washington D.C. this week for the big rally there. What did you see?
Yeah.
What's the vibe you got there?
Thanks for letting me call in because my sister and I went. My sister lives in Oklahoma, and she called me on Monday and said, "You want to go? Let's go." And so it was a spur of the moment decision. And we got a plane ticket for me to get to St. Louis on, Tuesday morning early. She picked me up in St. Louis, and we drove until 1:30 at night.
Wow.
Got to D.C., stayed in McLean. She has a friend who has a house in McLean. And we stayed there and then got up the next morning with this other girl that was going with us. And we were so excited. We just went to this like we've gone to other things, like the Trump rallies, just excited, wanting to show our support. American citizens that, you know, we usually just vote, we go to work, we do what we're supposed to do, we follow the laws, and we don't go out and riot or do crazy things, but we're like, you know, this is our time. Let's go and show that we support them. And so what started out as something really fun that morning that we were so excited about just later on just fell all apart, and it makes me so disappointed because I feel like the whole first part of it got completely erased, all the... You know, I have heard about 500,000 people. The first event was at the Ellipse Center, and it was, you had to be checked to get into that one. We stood in line for some time. They had, security there, and we couldn't take backpacks in, we couldn't take flagpoles in. You know, they were very tight security, and we went in there, and that's where Trump spoke. But from where we were standing, looking across to the National Monument, it was just people everywhere. It was just, I don't know if you saw the New York Post picture, but thousands of people. And they were people like me, just normal American people, farmers for Trump. If I were going to say anything I noticed, they were rural Americans. They were the people that...
Flyover state people.
Yeah.
The flyover state, the people that Anderson Cooper makes fun of that they went back to their holiday.
To the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn. That was the most disgusting thing I think I've heard these guys say on air. And they've said a lot of disgusting things.
They were just normal Americans. We talked to people from Pennsylvania, from Indiana, from Illinois, you know, different places that had come just to support the president, show that we're all behind him and what he's been talking about and that he's behind us, and then to hopefully show our support to those senators and representatives that are sticking their necks out for us. And then we never made it to the Capitol because what happened, it was really cold. It was quite a bit colder than we expected. And before Trump was even finished, we said, we want to walk to the Capitol with everyone, but let's go over to this hotel, the Mayflower, and have some lunch and warm up a little bit. So we went to the hotel, we were having lunch, and then we were going to walk back to the Capitol. And somewhere in that time, there's some people came in, so stuff's starting to happen over at the Capitol. And then we started getting screenshots from my sister's husband of, you know, people climbing the walls. And even at the time, we thought, that's weird. That's not the people we saw. Those people all seemed to have black on and looked like they were like a SWAT team or something, a lot of them. And the people we saw were just normal people with T-shirts and hats and, you know. So we ended up not going because it looked like it was going to get dangerous. And so we headed back to the house and just sat and watched the rest on the news. So we weren't right there at the Capitol to see that. And I'm really grateful that we stopped for lunch, because otherwise we probably would have been there and caught up in it. Although we would have probably been at the back. Whoever was at the front and did that couldn't have been at Trump's speech, because there's no way they could have gotten past all those crowds and gotten to the front unless they were there a lot earlier.
Hey, Tian, it's Eb Wilkinson. How are you?
Hi, Eb.
Hey, listen, so you were there, you listened to Trump speak. Unlike the left saying, he basically stated, go storm the castle. That didn't happen at all, did it?
No, it was a normal Trump speech where he was getting everybody excited and talking about things. But I specifically noticed when he said, now next thing we're going to do is we're all going to march over to the Capitol, and it's going to be a patriotic and peaceful march.
There you go.
That's exactly what he said. And we're like, you know, and everybody's cheering, and there was a man in front of me with his teenage son. There was people there with their children, holding their children up on their shoulders to see. It was a historic event. And, you know, we came to the Capitol and we wanted to make our voices heard. And, you know, I have no idea who those people were, but whoever they were, they ruined it for all of us and they ruined it for Trump.
Yeah. Hey, Tian, thanks very much for calling in. I'm glad you were there. I know you've been to different MAGA rallies, and MAGA rallies, the ones that I've been to, and I'm sure you have, they're peaceful events. Everybody's jazzed up and having a great time.
Peaceful and polite.
Peaceful, polite, and patriotic. Yep. So thank you for your patriotism and showing up there. And we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys.
All thanks, Tian. Right.
Safe travels back to Tucson. Gary has a couple of comments. Gary, go ahead. You're on with Bruce and Frank and Eb on Inside Track.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
To follow up on Tia's comments, the Gateway Pundit has positive photos of John Sullivan, who is a noted Black Lives Matter leader. He and a bunch of others that he had taken with him, he had stormed the Capitol. So there are photographs of him inside the rotunda. And your guest, I'd like to see if she knew about any of that. The second thing is I wanted you to ask your guest about Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, who just posted a video on YouTube talking about Nancy Pelosi's stolen laptop and why she is so nervous. I think it's because the information on that laptop is very...
I'd be nervous too if I was her.
Yeah. And the behavior that they're showing now, this is a long shot, but the same behavior from her having her laptop snatched is comparable to why I think maybe they were trying to get the president impeached, because at that time, a year and 3 months ago, it was when Hunter Biden forgot about his laptop.
Right.
And I wonder if there's any correlation between the two. And if you could ask your guest that, it would be interesting.
Frank, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I had not heard that someone had stole Pelosi's laptop, so that was news to me. And it'll be interesting. I guarantee you, as anybody can tell you, that our laptops are precious, even if we're not the Speaker of the House. And there's stuff on there, and I'm sure there's stuff that I don't want people to see and things that I'm saying. So I could imagine what she's got on hers. It could be quite remarkable if that's out there. But I don't think there's anything that would surprise us, though. I mean, we know how crazy the left is and the emails, and we've seen the stuff. So I don't think she would have anything. She would have just confirmation of what we already believe on that.
And bear in mind, the people that were inside the Capitol, those weren't the Trump supporters. They arrested a guy that was sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk. This is somebody that friends of mine back in Arkansas know. They called in and said, hey, we know who this guy is.
How stupid could you be?
Richard Barnett from Gravette, Arkansas.
They all took their pictures. It's like they wanted to be arrested, for crying out loud.
Well, and they are. They are going to get arrested.
He ended up turning
himself in. The FBI's got him on. If you go to the FBI's website, they've got over 220 pictures. Say, do you know these people?
Well, yeah.
Send us an email.
And the jackass with the buffalo horns?
Yeah. This guy who got arrested, he turned himself in to the FBI in Bentonville, Arkansas. He from my friends, he didn't have two dimes to rub together or two nickels. He had no money. You know, they're all wondering how he got the money to go to D.C. because he had no money, and he was a known agitator.
By the way, they found the same pallets of bricks. They found the frozen water balls all out close to the Capitol. This was not just a spontaneous thing.
Funny how that works.
There's no coincidences when stuff like this happens. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate your call. We got Mark who's got some more comments. Mark, go ahead.
Yes, thanks for your call, and I love
thanks
you
for your call, Mark.
Keep it up. And anyway, glad to have Frank back. Please come back more often, Frank.
He will be.
And anyways,
if we can take him away from hunting and bow hunting and stuff, you know. So I'll bet you have some comments, Mark.
Yes, I do, and I'm very scared in a way that the Republicans are not going to pursue Kamala Harris for her speech, you know, what same thing they're trying to do with Trump, and as well as a slow joke, stumbling, bumbling, you know, lying, hiding Biden, the pedophile, and all the crap he's pulled. Anyway,
Mark, look, we've said it before in the show. Whatever they're saying, we're doing. They're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever they say,
projection
is black. Is really white, okay? This is a group as a whole. The leadership and the I'll call it brains of the operation. You know, they're just a bunch of liars. You know, and we're the dumb party. I mean, I've said that 100 times. Emil Franzi said it before me. Dennis Prager believes we're the stupid party, but they are the evil party.
Well, we need to be just as on attack on the Democrats as much as possible.
I agree with that.
The guy sitting across from me. Change everything, and we'll never win again.
The guy sitting across from me has fought terrorists in Afghanistan, and right. So how do the Democrats stack up with the terrorists in Afghanistan?
I don't want to get caught on. This is being recorded, so it'll come back to haunt me when I run for office in a couple of years when I get back into politics. But there's. You know, what it basically is people, I don't care who you are, white, black, purple, green, young, old, there's an inherent gene that we all have, and I hate to say it, some people have it more than others, and that's to have power over people. Some people do it by going on Twitter and doing stupid stuff to get power. Some people, crazy YouTube videos. They just want the attention. They want the power. Other people are more insidious when they want their power, whether it's like Osama bin Laden or, you know, other people that want to use an oppressive way to control or whatever. And that's what's scary. That's what scares me, is there's that gene out there. And it's an American gene. That's why it's a human gene.
Yeah.
And that's why the founding fathers, to their credit, created this great system that if we just follow that instruction manual that they gave us, that it is designed to take away. That's why we have all these checks and balances. So it's to put a check on these people. Right. And right now we've lost a lot of those checks and balances. And that's what's really scary. And you have
We haven't lost them. The other side has been perverting them.
And what's really scary is you have an elitist oligarchy now made up of these tech titans, the Hollywood elites, you know, some very high level corporate business companies and whatnot, and these politicians in D.C., the so-called swampers, that are basically circling the wagons because that's the only way they can get control. And that is the scary thing that's going on.
They're not even pretending to be the shadow government.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's scary. That, and it's the, you, if you look at what Al-Qaeda did and the Taliban did to control speech in Afghanistan, you know, right. If you didn't comply with the narrative, they rolled you out into the soccer field and cut your head off. I mean, that's really what they did. Here, right now, it's starting out. We're just, you know, shadow banning you or cutting you off from Facebook and Twitter or whatever. But it's coming. This is a progression. We're watching this slowly happen. We're not at that level yet. But what's scaring me, and again, I am afraid for what I am seeing here in this country, because it is, you're going to have two sides, and they're pulling those two sides further and further apart. And the one side's egging it on, and it's going to get to a point where it's just going to snap. And that's the scary thing that I'm thinking. That day, hopefully I'm long gone before that day comes, but I'm really worried I won't be.
Mark, thanks. We got Ted holding on the line. Ted, go ahead. You have a question and a comment for Frank Antonori?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I've seen a lot of discussion about the timing of when the Capitol Police started pulling the barricades open was coincided with the beginnings of the discussion of the fraud in the election.
So,
and it stopped it, and it's never come back.
Yeah, so I don't know. Sometimes there's just things in the world that occur that are called coincidence. The Capitol Police chief, and I saw the comments from the lieutenant from the Capitol Police. They to be straight up, were overwhelmed, and they had several of their officers on the radio asking them, "What do we do? What do we do?" There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people here. They're trying to force their way in, and the police chief and the lieutenant that was in charge of the officers inside the Capitol, thinking again that these people weren't coming in there to kill people, they were probably just coming in to smash things or something, made the decision, from what he said, he made the decision to open up and allow these people in rather than what would have been the alternative, which would be to draw their firearms and start shooting people. And he basically said that they made the decision rather to have 10 officers standing there against 1,000 people trying to push their way through the door. He told his officers just to stand down. We'll wait till reinforcements arrive, and then we'll slowly push them back out. But it's not worth shooting and killing people over them right now. And that's what they did. They basically let them in. They couldn't have stopped them. So unless they killed people.
The National Guard came in without weapons.
I know.
Was that smart?
Yeah, that was smart. You know, of course, Biden's saying, oh, well, if it was Black Lives Matter, they wouldn't have. But that's all baloney. That's not true. None of that hurt. All the riots that occurred, the same thing. They weren't forcibly putting these riots down with deadly force.
Right.
So you had the Capitol Police that had that choice. And to the credit, and the poor guy resigned, the
right.
police chief. But to their credit, they made a decision. They said, look it. There's what, a couple hundred of us inside the Capitol, and there's several thousand of people outside. This ain't going to work out.
Right. And a lot of people could get killed.
Yeah, and that's what he said. He told his officers, you know, look, you know, there's nothing we could do. We're overwhelmed. Just step aside and try your best to keep everything under control. But he says, do not actively
engage.
Yeah, do not engage with force. And that would have been the only. Now, I also watched that video of that poor Air Force veteran getting shot.
Right.
And what was really interesting about it is there were CRT officers, the crisis response team officers, in the room with her. And as soon as she was shot, you saw them come over. They had their body armor, full kit. And what was really interesting to me, and I have been in this position so I could see this, I could smell this. And I watched this poor Capitol Police officer that was on the other side of that glass. And if you watch the videos, he stuck his firearm up. He was shaking. That cop was shaken. He was scared for his life. And when that girl climbed up on top and came through the door, that poor guy, if you watched him, he was scared. And I believe that was what that officer did. He just shot and not realizing he was somehow under the belief that he was going to die. And that's what I think. And I've seen fear in people before. I know what fear looks like. And I saw in that video that cop was scared. And you could just see the way his firearm was shaking. He was scared. And unfortunately, that poor lady, she paid the price for that.
Here we got Bruce.
Bruce is hanging on the line. Bruce, you have a comment. Great name, Bruce.
Yes. Hi. Hi, Bray. Hi, Bruce. Hey, my wife and I were watching the insurrection going on Wednesday. And she's a Democrat. And she's looking at him. And finally, when she saw them scaling the walls, she says, those aren't Trump supporters. These guys are nimble.
Right.
Oh my gosh. They don't have bellies.
Yeah.
They had the elbow pads on. They had the knee pads.
Yeah, the bike helmets.
Bike helmets.
The
these
black
guys
backpacks.
Were, these guys were pros. Your wife saw it exactly the way it is.
Yep.
Yeah, and being a Democrat, she was leaning towards that, but she automatically said, "Hey, these guys aren't Trump supporters."
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get her a Republican. She can sign up to be a member of the Republican Party.
So
yeah, I think we have to get her to donate first, and then we'll work that.
Well, voting would be good.
Okay, guys.
Thanks. We got Craig.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling, Bruce. We got Craig in just a couple of minutes left. Craig, go ahead. You're on with Frank and Eb and Bruce Ash.
Great. Listening to the program, it's been very insightful and good to hear people from all around here commenting. And I just wanted to make a couple of comments. Frank, I'm glad to hear you're getting back and involved. And Sid mentioned he looks like he might be running again. Hope to be out here supporting you when you do.
Appreciate it.
My other comment is that I hope that everybody's seeing what's going on, and the fact that we've always kind of taken Arizona for granted to be a Republican state, and we've been infiltrated and moved into, and our election ended up being targeted. And I just encourage everybody, you know, you're watching things going on and you're going like, what can I do? All I can do is I sit here and I pray, you know, and go, not next time. Next time, I'm going to be a poll watcher. Next time, I'm going to immediately get involved with the Republican Party. I'm going to, each one of us got to say, I'm getting involved, not in my state. And hopefully the other states and the good people will stand up and do the same in their states. But frankly, Arizona is not safe. And when I moved here 11, 12 years ago, I thought of Arizona is basically a Republican state.
Yeah. Well, we're in occupied territory now.
Back then, Arizona was mostly a rural suburban state. Now it's becoming a metropolitan with the growth in Phoenix and to some extent Tucson. And generally, people that move into the cities tend to have those liberal viewpoints, and that's part of the challenge.
Hey, Craig.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that we've got some really good conservative stations here in Tucson, but I find very, very hard to pick up the up in the Phoenix area, which is concerning to me.
Yeah.
Well, KFYI would be the best, the Patriot there. There's a few others as well. And, hey, Craig, we got to leave it there for today. And picking up on what you said, we have to urge everybody to call and write your member of Congress and both our senators to urge them not to buy into Trump derangement syndrome. That's the final solution they're trying to push. They not only want to cancel him out, they want to cancel all of us out.
Yep.
And we must not allow them to defeat us. Theirs is a very, very dangerous path, and it's only going to delay the national reconciliation that we're all searching for.
Yeah, and Craig, get involved. I mean, you're wanting to get involved. Become a precinct committeeman. Start there. You know, a good grassroots level. Get a chance to reach out to your
fellow. Share your views. Somebody might take what you're saying and help. You know, it may help somebody.
Yeah. And hey, we've had great callers today.
Yes.
I knew everybody would be pretty amped up, and everybody was responsible when they call. I appreciate that. And you know, go to a Trump rally, and these were always great events. And Frank, thanks so much for being here. I appreciate your contributions this afternoon. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to our Freedom from Democrat Tyranny and Impeachment edition of Inside Track. And before we sign off this afternoon, a point of personal privilege, longtime Los Angeles Dodger player and two-time World Series Hall of Fame manager Tommy Lasorda passed away 2 days ago at his home. I met him once many years ago in San Antonio watching the Dodger AAA affiliate there. He was gracious and accommodating. I still have that picture on my dresser top to this day. Farewell, Tommy. You bled Dodger blue for 71 years. You were audacious and you were magnificent, except for the Piazza trade. I am quite certain you are with the big Dodger in the sky and will be watching Dodger baseball from your celestial skybox forever. Thanks for the good times. And until next Saturday, this is Bruce Ash,
Eb Wilkinson,
and Frank Antonori
wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. What other kind of customers do you have?
So our biggest customers are actually like ranchers and people from outside of the Tucson area. They're buying a lot of square tubing. They're buying a lot of stuff for their ranch to close off fences.
We'll sell anything from 10 feet to 10,000 feet to somebody that comes in because we have new steel and surplus steel from steel mills. The reason we're able to get such good pricing on some of this stuff is, A, we sell scrap to the mill. So we have a relationship there, and then we can buy material, what they're making, bringing it back. And so we save on freight, and we have relationships for years with them. So I think that's really our niche market. We'll sell whatever you need.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.